Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining the April 15th All VR call. We will go ahead and get started into our agenda, and then we'll go through some logistics. So first, we'll go through logistics. Then next, we'll have a recap from the Cost Reimbursement and Ticket to Work Training Symposium. After that recap, we'll have a Q&A session, our first session, for you to ask any questions you have in regards to that recap. Next, we'll have a few VR updates. Then we'll go into our final Q&A session two, and then talk about an upcoming event. So next slide. So here we have our logistics. This call is being recorded and transcribed. Participants are not permitted to record the meeting nor capture the transcript. During the Q&A session, the chat is not available to post any questions. You must ask your question aloud. If you're joining via phone and you wish to ask a question, use the raised hands, or you can raise your hand rather by utilizing star five, and then you'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you want to press star six to unmute yourself. If you're joining in the MS Teams application, you want to click the raise hand icon at the top right, and the facilitator will provide access to your audio and then allow you to proceed with asking your question. Of course, having to unmute yourself again with that option as well. Next. Please remember to ask only one question each time you are called upon by the facilitator. Any additional questions or comments may be sent to vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. Any questions that are not answered during this live event will be forwarded rather to the appropriate panelist for comment. Closed caption is available for participants who are joining using the MS Teams application or utilizing the separate closed caption link that was provided in the invite for today's meeting. We do have that closed caption here at the bottom of the screen if you would like to make note of that to connect to closed captioning. If in Teams, you want to connect to the closed captioning, you want to click the more at the top of the MS Teams window and click language and speech, and then next select turn on live captions. Of course, when using the link that we provide here, you want to type this link into your URL line and a separate window will open to show you the closed captions. So let's just pause there for a moment for anybody that is typing that URL. That is https, have a colon, forward slash www.captionedtext.com /client/event.aspx *customer ID = 349. And sorry, let me move this up so I can capture this. Trying to read it. 3492, the @ event ID equals 5969728. Okay, next. We will have our recap again of the Cost Reimbursement and Ticket to Work Training Symposium recap. And this will be presented by Eric Smith, the program manager at Maryland Division of Rehabilitation Services, and Shelley Paquette from Minnesota VR, the program specialist and Ticket to Work CPWIC. I will hand it over to Shelley to get us started with the recap from the symposium.
Thank you, Keetra, and thank you, SSA, for allowing myself and Eric to present on this. It's been a great event getting together. Next slide, please. So recapping the symposium, why was it needed? Well, it's been many, many years since we've had one. They used to hold them at the same time as the CSAVR spring agenda. And the last one was held in 2019. So I even personally have never attended one other than this newest symposium. And of course, then COVID derailed that opportunity. I just want to highlight the steps that it took to get to this symposium after 6 years of not having one. It all started with Eric and Marilyn VR, and that question of, if we can't get it through CSA VR and the Spring Agenda, what if we put it together? So he enlisted many onto his team from Social Security, other VRs, blind agencies, and employment networks. He identified topics the group did from previous CR trainings, cost reimbursement trainings, and then added current relevant subject matter. As we all know, there's quite a bit lately. And then secured Marilyn's leadership and approval and support. And then through that, really developed a packed agenda. And then secured the location for us, a training room that met all of our needs, held as many people as we possibly could fit in. And also went the further step of identifying lodging, not only with what the rate was for the hotel, but what are their amenities and closeness to the location. Everything was laid out and very well done. So again, kudos to Eric and that full team that developed that. Next slide. So Eric, this one's yours, I believe.
Yep. Thanks, Shelley. Shelley actually put together this map that you see on the screen here while we were live there at the session. And for anyone who can't see it, the map shows all of the states in attendance. There were 27 states that attended the symposium. There were actually about 30 who had RSVP'd to attend. A few states had to withdraw due to travel restrictions. But still, we had 27 states in attendance, and then of those 27 states, some of them have more than one VR agency for the general or blind agency. So we actually had 36 total VR agencies in attendance. There was over 80 attendees. There were 6 staff from SSA who were kind enough to attend for the whole first day and some for part of the second day as well. And then we had a lot of staff also from partner employment networks and from some benefits planning partners for some training on those special topics. I did want to make a quick mention that the reason that we were able to get such a good turnout is we kind of advertised this and we talked about it on the CSA VR group calls that we have. We sent out numerous emails. Social Security asked us to talk on a prior all VR call about it. And then actually we had CSA VR send out an email to the state directors, their state points of contact, letting them know that we were putting this on, again, trying to generate as maximum attendance as possible to really get a good kickoff for something that, as Shelley said, we hadn't had in quite a while. Okay, next slide. This slide just shows you the agenda for the 3 days. As Shelley mentioned, it was a very full agenda. The reason it was quite full is we actually did a little bit of legwork before we put it on. We sent the survey out asking for topic needs from people who may attend. And then we also took a look at the prior trainings and pulled in what was done on prior CSAVR hosted trainings from the past. So the first day was a full day of SSA training. SSA was kind enough to cover an overview of the cost reimbursement process, recommended practices, highlighted the ticket portal, showcased some of the main screens and main links that you would use there. And then they also provided a lot of question and answer for us. Some questions that we had kind of given them ahead of time, other questions in the room. The second day was kind of the counterpoint to the SSA side, which was the VR kind of driven cost reimbursement basics and overview. So that was hearing from folks in our positions across the country, discussing claims, denial processes, reconsideration processes, the justification of late start of SGA, PVR responses, how to track claims, the differences between general caseloads and blind agencies, how some things are similar, some things are a little bit different in terms of the timing, the tracking, those sorts of things. We also discussed the pre-ATS pilot a bit. We discussed ticket and cost reimbursement, as well as best practices for ticket assignment, that sort of thing. We also did a couple sessions on data tools and best practices. We really reviewed a lot of the common data systems that states use, UI, you know, wages, the Verser system that's provided by Social Security, the state wage interchange system, work number for those states that are able to access that. We talked from the user side of the ticket portal on some of the common features that we typically use on a regular basis. We also went into SVES, which is State Verification Exchange System. We talked about budget forecasting. We talked about the cost formula a bit, and just the value of having good data systems to making your job as successful as it could be. On the third day, we talked a little bit more on some niche topics. We covered benefits planning and the value that that brings to the individuals we serve, as well as the cost reimbursement ramifications for doing a good benefits planning program. We talked about Partnership Plus. And the value that that brings to providing continuity of supports for those that we serve. And then we tied everything together kind of in a big overview at the end to kind of wrap everything in a bow to give everybody a good understanding to take away how things in working ideally can bring you good cost reimbursement revenue stream. Okay, next slide.
So the symposium, as we said, had a lot of information. So this is just a recap of some of it. There's many, many different things that were discussed and presented on. But one thing just to be aware of, that RSA is going to be changing the forms again that we use for our cost formula development form. So just be on the alert for that coming up as we enter into that next cycle where the cost formula will be due. And notice of determination, some of us might not have known this ahead of time, but when a claim is denied, it's printed the day of that decision. And when the claim is paid, it's printed the date that the fiscal transfer happens from SSA to your state. So just being aware of those timelines. Assignments, again, we are required to report any SSA clients who are working with us in VR services. And when a ticket is terminated, it may be reflected as ticket 01. But if we continue, if that comes back when we check out on the ticket, if you continue throughout the sequence that you're serving someone to check on that Social Security number, it may result in a further ticket. So somebody might have had their ticket terminated, but then reapplied and got benefits again and under another ticket. So if you continue to check on that SSN, you'd see it as another ticket that comes up and be able to have that assigned. Next slide, please. Claims. One of the tips that came about, that if you're submitting multiple claims for one person, send in the smallest claim first, because then if it's denied, you know the others would have been denied as well, and you can wait to submit those so you don't use up your one entry before a reconsideration may be needed. On the ticket portal, if you've created a MySSA account with your work email, like I have, I need to change mine, so will you, to a personal email via the MySSA website. For assistance in changing your email address, you need to contact the help desk for the website you use to create your account. Login.gov, the numbers are here on the screen, calling for assistance, 844-875-6446. And that's 24 hours a day, or you can submit a help ticket at https://login.gov/contact/. Or if you did it under ID.me, submit a help ticket at https://help.id.me/hc/en-us/p/contact_support. That was a lot. Next slide, please. The highlights continuing for PVRs and late start SGA. No longer are we required to put the reference number on all documents for a diary submission. So when you're gathering all those pieces together, whether you're handwriting, hopefully not, or using Adobe or other apps to put the number on, you no longer are required to do that. If you faxed in documentation more than 30 days ago and haven't received a response, email the help desk to follow up on that. PVRs, they're chosen randomly. They're based on a previous year's submission by percentage. And then the PVR notices now reflect the 75-day due date. The new VR handbook is in development, as well as the ticket portal user guide. Next slide, please. And then just some general things, what's considered good cause for missing a deadline, et cetera. Those would be things that are out of your control that you could not have seen coming, systems issues or acts of God, but not acceptable would be, well, the person retired and we don't have all the stuff together yet, or that person went on a 2-week vacation. So deadlines are deadlines. Again, it's under a good cause for a reason. Mailings are from the decision date, not from the date you open the mail. So pay attention to the date that's on the actual notice of determination or the notice of PVR or late start SGA. The TPM contractor may change. The RFI is currently out. And then you can also file for cost reimbursement, even if there's not a ticket, on a 16 to 17-year-old that has SSI or concurrent benefits. And there's the regulation that's on the screen here, ECFR, semicolon, semicolon, 20, CFR, 411.350 under the Code of Regulations. The ticket on assignment form can be signed electronically, and that was revised in December of 2024, and that can be found at the Choose Work website, and it's going to be under the Docs and Materials. This will be on the slide. I won't read out this whole address, but it's on the Choose Work website under the Documents and Resources. NENA was also shared as a resource for those who engage with employment networks. So if your state has Partnership Plus or has other relationships with the employment networks in your state, NENA can be a great resource for you to connect with. Next slide. Eric, this is you.
Thanks. I think I was on mute. Thanks, Shelly. So I appreciate Shelly sharing all those highlights. I would just want to add regarding the highlights, that's certainly not everything that was discussed. Those are actually things that either came up in conversation around the topic areas that were addressed. We will be sending out all of the actual slides and presentations to our CSAVR work group list. I'll have a little bit more on that later. But so just so you know, that certainly wasn't everything that was discussed. Those are some highlights and some things that didn't fit into the other trainings that we have that we're going to be sharing out with everybody. But it was a really, really very successful training because everybody in the room had a chance to kind of share best practices, hear from, counterparts. It was very helpful in that regard. So on the slide here, there's just a couple of charts regarding a survey that we sent out after the symposium, and this is certainly not an exhaustive showcase of the questions, but I did want to put these two on for specific reasons. The first was how satisfied were you with the agenda, and that was very positive in general, and I will say the couple of critiques on the agenda are largely regarding the fact that it was one very, very packed agenda, so a little bit more time for some breakout sessions, a little more time to kind of digest some information, talk about some information would certainly be welcomed. And then also the fact that it was 3 full days made it a little bit challenging for folks, traveling back that same evening. So in the future, should we look at something like this again, we would want to look at that regarding the agenda. And then in terms of the overall value in attending the symposium, was very satisfied to satisfy. There was nobody that wasn't satisfied that was in attendance, which is nice to see. And what I really wanted to pull that for was because, again, if we try to keep something like this going in the future, we really wanted to showcase to our leadership in the state, and then also just the leadership in the country, that this is a very useful avenue for providing training, and everyone that was able to attend got a lot out of it. Go ahead for the next slide. Okay, so in terms of the survey, I did want to add a few more comments. In the responses, we also got some feedback for any additional questions that we were not able to cover in the room for Social Security. We're going to be passing those questions along to Social Security so that they can review those. Maybe those will become future trainings on future all VR calls or something that comes out in a blast at some point in the future, however that is decided. But we definitely had a few things that we weren't able to get to in the room, or that they were a little bit more complicated or a little bit more nuanced. We definitely had some time for questions in the room. We had some that were sent to Social Security ahead of time that they addressed. But as you talk, obviously more questions come up. And so we were able to ask the attendees to compile those. I have a list of those that I'll be sending over to Social Security now that we're kind of finishing this wrap-up process. We also looked at in the questionnaire some future symposium planning questions, and it was largely seemed like something we definitely should continue on in the future, but if we were to continue in the future, there were things like, as I mentioned, allowing more time for some networking, some coordination, possibly looking at breakout sessions on specific topics or by experience level. There were several people who thought, I'm brand new, I would appreciate a very basic level, versus others who maybe have been doing this for a while, and so they might want to engage in a bit more of a nuanced conversation based on a larger experience level. We also were looking at having more experts to share the load a little bit, so you can hear from different folks on different topics. So we would certainly be recommending that in the future, is trying to kind of spread that out so folks can hear from different perspectives across the country on how things could or should look for you. And then lastly, there was just some minor housekeeping improvements. Obviously, it's very hard to get the temperature in the room right for everybody, but something that we definitely want to address in the future is audio in the room and making sure that it's accessible for everyone. So that's something to think about. The reason that we collected all of this was because we really want to try to keep this momentum and try to have it be successful again, and maybe even learn a little bit what did or didn't work this first time around. Next slide, please. Okay, so this slide just highlights a number of additional training needs. One of the questions we asked on the survey was, if something was not covered sufficiently or was not covered at all, would there be a particular need for a training for you? And we don't want to wait until a year goes by and try to do this as a symposium training necessarily, but it's something that we can use the CSA VR call for, or potentially even on future VR calls if it's something that it's an SSA related training element. But we identified a number. I'm not going to go through this whole list on the screen here, but I will say, based on that, we have ideas about which ones we want to enact first and how we would do a breakout training for those sessions. And so you'll see that there's a lot upcoming for you to learn if that's something that you haven't heard before. I'll give you one example, and that is the State Verification Exchange System, SVES. That's probably going to be our first one that we do. I think that's scheduled for May, if I'm not mistaken. We'll be talking about that on the next call, on the CSAVR call, about when that's scheduled. But that was something in the room that was very much asked for in the room, and it showed up again on the survey as something that a lot of folks want more information on. And just in case you're unaware what it is, SVES, SIEVS, SFES, however you want to pronounce it, is what states can use for verifying Social Security benefits information, benefit type amount, some demographic information, like is the name and the social for that person correct, the date of birth correct, that sort of thing. It's a very useful tool. It's used in some states more than others and in different ways in different states. So that's probably our first training that we knew we needed to do a breakout session on, that was just not a good fit to try to cram that much content into the symposium. Okay, next slide. Okay, so the next steps that we're looking at is I will be sending out the presentations. I've actually already sent them over to Ashley over there in Virginia. Ashley has been kind of a trooper for many years doing the CSAVR hosted calls that we do monthly. And so if you're on this call, but you're not on those calls, you may want to reach out to Ashley. Her email address is on the screen here. It's ashley.deans@dars.virginia.gov. And that way you can get added to those monthly calls and also added to the email list that we have for those CSAVR hosted calls. Again, that's where we're going to try to send those symposium presentations that have been revised based on feedback from in the room. And we'll be sending that out again shortly to everyone. And then, as I mentioned on the previous slide, we've identified right now six topics that we know we're going to need to do additional training on out of that big long list of possible trainings. Again, the first one they're going to be doing is SVES. And then we have a number of other ones that we're going to be adding, either every month or every other month, or potentially on their own, you know, time frame for specific trainings. But in terms of the symposium itself, a lot of folks in the room were hoping that we might consider doing this again. That's something that, you know, Maryland would consider hosting again. I know that that helps in terms of in person for SSA to be able to attend, but I know SSA would be able to, you know, possibly attend if it was something virtual as well. But we're looking at if other states are interested in hosting this for the future. And so if that is the case and you are potentially interested, you can certainly speak to me. I can give you some feedback on how things that we learned from this first go around. And then hopefully we can kind of keep the momentum going for this for future years to come. Okay, next slide. So yeah, so that's everything that we had. We just wanted to open it up for questions and answers at this point in time.
Thank you so much, Shelley. And thank you, Eric, for that recap and all that great information. Yes, as Eric mentioned, we're going to go into our first Q&A session for anyone who has any questions in reference to that recap or future symposiums. Catherine, Imani, do we have anybody with a raised hand at this time?
We have one raised hand from Molly O'Brien. I'm going to unmute you and you can ask your question.
Hi, Molly, if you can unmute yourself and go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
If we move, my email right now is with my work email for my SSA. If I move it to my personal email, that doesn't mean I have to email like the help desk on my personal email, correct?
If, as far as I know, there is no email address for the SSA help desk. Is that what you're referencing?
No, like the V. We learned no, at the. Okay.
Hi, Molly. It's Raquel Donaldson. Oh, go ahead, Raquel. You do not ever have to email the VR help desk from your personal email address. Everyone's VR email domain is a secure domain for emailing PII. So never email. I'm glad
that's
you asked
exactly
that.
What I was getting at. I didn't want to mess up that secure domain if I changed the MySSA. So thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you for that. And sorry, I misunderstood it. Alexis, you had your hand up. You want to add to that?
Yeah, changing your email address for your MySSA/portal login is solely for login purposes. It's not for anything else because your MySSA account is your personal account forever and always.
Thank you. Thank you, Raquel. Thank you, Alexis. And thank you, Molly, for that question. Imani, are there any other raised hands or questions at this time?
No, there's no other raised hands.
All right. Certainly, if you're one thing to mention, if you're over the phone, because I do believe we have a few dialed in, and if you want to raise your hand, you can dial star 5 and you'll be unmuted, and then you'll dial star 6 to unmute yourself. So I know we have a few that are dialed in on the phone. So if you did have a question, that would be how you would alert us that you have a question. All right. I don't believe we have any more at this time, but we do have a second Q&A session. So if anything comes up, we can address that at that time. So next slide. So now I will provide the VR updates, and we have two. So our first update, next slide, please, is about the prepayment validation review. So a quick update, VR agencies are no longer required to send the PVR notice as a part of the required PVR documentation. However, the documents that are still required are the SSA 199 with cost in numerical order, and that should be signed. Second, the proof of payment for the requested services. Third, the signed individual plan for employment, IPE, or any amended IPEs. And then lastly, the case notes or progress notes. So those are the four documents that are required moving forward for the PVR cases. Our next update, next slide, please, is the new Ticket to Work program email addresses. So on Friday, March the 28th, Social Security announced via Gov Delivery message that there are new Ticket to Work program email addresses, which are listed below. Please update your contacts to reflect these new email addresses. So that's the EN Operations, EN Recruitment, the EN Payments Help Desk, the EN Systems Help Desk, Ticket to Work Program Integrity, the ENAPOR, the TPR Help Desk, and the Ticket to Work Stories, Webinars, and Social Media emails have all changed. So that is all for our updates in reference to the new email addresses. Some of these email addresses are on the Your Ticket to Work website, some that are not listed publicly yet, and then there are some that are on our Choose Work website on the Contact Us pages. So next, this is our final Q&A session. So if any questions have come up about those new email addresses or in reference to the recap, please do raise your hand so you can ask your question. Imani, do we have any raised hands at this time?
Yes, we have one from Eugenia Cox. I'm going to allow Mike, and you can unmute yourself to ask your question.
Good morning. Afternoon. Sorry, I'm over here on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I have a question about the diary. When the diary changes from a justification or a request for, you know, IPE, to a PVR, mm-hmm. the date doesn't change from the original. So what date do we use for the start of the 75 days? The original diary date for the justification, or do we use a different date for when the PVR was announced? And if so, how do we find that date out?
So the date that I know that we follow internally in the VR payments department is we follow the date that the case is selected for the PVR. That starts the 75 days. Alexis, can you offer any guidance about where they can find that in the portal when they're looking at the claim? Or anyone from SSA, can you provide any guidance on where they can see that information in the portal?
Hi, teacher. This is Katie. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yes.
So the way it works on our side, what we can see in the system, Eugenia, is that It actually creates a different type of or a new type of diary when it is selected for a PBR. There is a totally different diary reason. It'll say selected for a PBR. So you want to use the dates of that diary that will have the start date.
It doesn't change the date. And so we don't know when it actually changed from the justification to the PBR. And if you use the original date, we're not actually getting 75 days because we didn't know it.
The expiration date is 75 days.
Okay, but from what date?
Are you saying you don't see an expiration date?
It doesn't say. It has the date, the expiration date of 30 days. But the date due does not change. It just, it'll usually change like right in the middle of when the due date is for the original request. And when it does, we don't know when that request was made because it still has the 30-day or the 30 days due for the justification.
So without, an example would be helpful. But the way we can see it in our system is that, you know, when it is selected for a PBR, and we did have a release at the end of February. So if you're thinking about an older example, right, this may be something that occurred in the past. But we had a release at the end of February, and all diaries for PBRs are automatically set to 75 days to give you 75 days, and it does match what's on the notice. What happens sometimes is that in the middle of the PBR, you need something else, and the diary gets changed to a different diary, which is 30 days. So maybe that is what one of your examples are. But without a real example, it's really hard, you know, to mm-hmm. talk through what you're seeing and, you know, whether, like I said, whether this is something that just happened yesterday or something a little older. But you do get the full 75 days. And, you know, if you do have a question, I would say at this point, right, about a case, I'm not sure how long do I have, you know, it says this in the portal. You know, if you have any questions or, you know, concerns about, you know, making sure that you get it in time, I would at this point, you know, recommend contacting the VR help desk so they can give you the correct dates, because we can see the dates on our side in our system. And we do want to, you know, talk through and make sure that you are seeing the information you need to see. And you know, we can work through on that piece, but without an example, it's really hard on the, you know, it's really hard on the call. From our side, it looks like you get 75 days and it looks like the date it's telling you is the 75th day. But if you see something else, like I said, we can bring that up offline and then bring it back to the group.
Okay. So just for clarification, 2 weeks into a justification request where you have 30 days, it changes to a PBR. You're saying that the due date on that diary is going to change to the 75 days?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, so, because it changes the diary type. It changes, right? It you know, I'm going to assume, and anybody else in the VR team, if you want to hop in, but you know, the example I'm kind of thinking about, right, is that you do send in what they need, right? And they've looked at it and then they've approved it. And now that it's been approved, it is now eligible for a PBR and then was selected for a PBR, which then extends the diary right to 75 days in the PBR. It is a different type of diary.
Okay.
So when that is accurate. Hop on top of it. Okay.
Yes, Katie, this is Raquel. Is accurate.
You're correct. That's exactly what happened. So, Eugenia, let's just say it was for late start of SGA, whatever the reason is. The VR sends in that documentation. The technician continues to process the claim to completion. That is the only time that it would be selected, or it can be selected to become a PVR. So that's when that's when the time begins again, when it's selected for PVR.
Okay, so you will have already sent in, even 2 weeks
correct.
In, it will not trigger PVR until you send in the documents for the first.
That is correct.
Okay, that helps. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that question, Eugenia. Imani, do we have any other raised hands at this time?
We have one more raised hand from Heather Mertz. I'm going to allow your mic. You can unmute yourself to ask your question.
Heather, if you want to go ahead and unmute your mic at the top right of the screen, and you can ask your question. Okay. All right. She's lowered her hand. Do we have another hand raised at this time, Imani?
Not from the VRs, only from Shelly.
Okay. Shelly, go ahead.
I wanted a little clarification on the 199 when you said that it should be written, that cost should be in numerical order. Mm-hmm. You're talking about from oldest to newest in numerical order, correct? Not the dollar amount spent.
Correct. And on the form per se, you know, when you're listing your costs, you put a 1, 2, 3, whatever the case may be. Yes. So then the documentation that you have behind that will match that 1, 2, 3.
Yes, that's, I just want a clarification on that because obviously our dollars, all our costs don't fall in numerical order all the time.
So. Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I believe I saw a raised hand. Do we have any Imani at this time?
It was Heather again, but she put her hand back down. So I don't believe she has another question unless she puts her hand back up.
Okay. And Heather, if you were having an issue with your audio and you still have a question, please send that to the vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov and we could get you a response. I don't believe that we have any other. Okay. I believe we have a raised hand at this time. Imani, can you announce, please?
We have another question from Eugenia. I will allow your mic and you can unmute yourself to ask your question.
Just one more clarifying question on the diary. Mm-hmm. The start date of the diary, does it change when it changes to a PBR? Or does it stay as it originally was when the justification was?
The start date changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the start date of the PBR, once it changes to a PBR, it adjusts. So okay.
Correct.
Okay.
You have 75 days from the date that it is placed in diary and becomes a PBR. And that date is also, as Keetra mentioned, on the PBR documentation, the letter that goes out to you all. Even though you do not have to return that letter now, that letter is still important to you because that date is there, other information is there. And if you're finding that you still have questions, as Katie mentioned, reach out to the VR help desk because they can immediately answer for you what date you need to be looking at.
Okay. We're trying to figure out how to notify ourselves, you know, when that has changed. Because sometimes we miss it because we don't watch the diary every day. So we're trying to figure out, make sure we know the dates.
Yeah, again, if you have any questions about that or you think you're wrong, just reach out to the VR help desk because they'll definitely be able to help you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Do you have any other raised hands at this time, Imani?
There are no other raised hands.
All right. Well, I'll move forward to our next slide to talk about an upcoming event. And that is the Work Incentive Seminar event, which will be on April the 23rd from 3 to 4:30 p.m. This month's topic will be using your plan to achieve self-support. So that's our one upcoming event for this period. And then next, we have a few resources for you on who to contact. If you want to contact us by phone in reference to asking any questions about claims that you're seeing in the portal that have not moved forward, or you want to identify what that PVR expiration date is, you can contact us by phone Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's our toll-free number, 1-866-949-3687. And there are four options when you call that line. Option one is for the beneficiary help desk. Option two is for the EN payments help desk for those VR ENs. Option three is the EN systems help desk. And then option four is for state vocational rehabilitation agencies. If you would like to contact us via emails for any issues regarding cost reimbursement, ticket assignment, the provider service provider website, or the ticket portal, you can email vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. I don't believe that we have any other raised hands at this time. So I want to thank everyone for their participation in today's call. Thank you very much, Eric and Shelley, for that recap of the symposium and all the great information that was shared and what's to come in the future. Thank you all for your time today. Have a great rest of your day.